Hello and welcome to the Rant and Rave podcast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Frank. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing okay, but I got to tell you, it was a tough week.
Tough week, yeah. Tough week, tough days, tough everything.
Yeah, so let me just start off with this first. We lost one of the great comedians of our era, Norm Macdonald.
Ah, yes.
Another fellow Canadian. So I'm sure most of you at least know his name. He was an anchor on Saturday Night Live for many years doing the Weekend Update.
Right.
I bring him up because, you know, I just love the guy, and he was, you know, truly a legend in his day. But he was fearless. And in this day of Hollywood being such a safe conformist factory of the same bile,
right,
Norm stood out. So I encourage anybody to look at some various clips of his he's still on YouTube. But another thing, which I didn't know for many, many years, he was a good Christian. So he actually had some amazing conversations with Larry King on Larry's show after CNN.
Okay.
And he went in quite in depth about it, about his Christianity and his belief in God. So that just made me love him even more, obviously. But really sorry. He was only a couple years older than me, and he'd been sick for many years. And sorry to hear that. He's now in comedy heaven.
Comedy heaven. He had cancer, I think, right?
He did for many years and kept it hidden. No one even knew. So rest in peace, Norm Macdonald. The other tragic news this week was the Gavin Newsom non-win for his to get him thrown out of office.
Yes.
We fell short, Frank, and so it wasn't even close, which is obviously very disappointing. What do you think led to it being such a lopsided, victory for Gavin Newsom?
Fraud. Basically,
there you go.
I mean, partially, but no, it's, look, Dave, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, we can't obviously conclude that it was fraud. I mean, we've been conditioned in California to think it's a 60-40 state, you know, 60-70% are Democrats, 40-ish% are conservatives. And, you know, whether or not it's harvest, ballot harvesting or ballot stuffing or whatever, I think at the end of the day, if you just look at some of the results on a county by county basis, first of all, so for the folks who are outside of California, we're obviously very close to this, but for folks around the country and around the world who listen to us, you know, basically if you extract the city of Los Angeles, just not the surrounding area, just the city of Los Angeles and the city of San Francisco, just the two downtown cores, we win. So it's really a function of all these woke, retard, libtard, cafe, latte, drinking, tree hugging, Birkenstock wearing goofballs. They're the ones who really propel things over the edge. And the thing that gets a little disconcerting is that if you look, for example, at a breakdown of Orange County down here in Southern California, which used to be a really reliable conservative Republican hold, Nixon was from here, et cetera. But what you're seeing is kind of a shift going on in Orange County. I mean, places like Laguna Beach used to, you know, that was a in the tank, Democratic thing, 70%. But if you go down to places like Newport Beach and Dana Point and San Clemente, you know, you were talking, they were in the plus column to get, Newsom recalled this past cycle. So just a few days ago. So when you add it all up, unfortunately, we just don't have the raw numbers. And I think, frankly, a good chunk of conservatives just sort of say, fuck it, I'm not turning out, because they know that it's just not worth it. So that's probably about 10%, I would guess, right there, who are just like, what's the point of even bothering?
The other thing is, of course, they literally are now mailing out ballots left and right. And this has to stop. So in other words, instead of asking for ballots, they're still continuing the process of, oh, if we have your name on any kind of list anywhere, you're getting a ballot in the mail.
Yeah.
And I think that hurts. I think if you literally went back to the old days on the, you have one day of voting and you have to show up at the actual ballot location.
Yes.
I think we would have a much better chance.
100%. That's the way Canada is. We're going to get into Canada's election in a little bit, because they're having a national election tomorrow, but that's the way it is in Canada and France. And it's very simple. One day you show up, ID, paper ballot only, no electronic counting machines, and no mail-in ballots. The only exceptions are basically if you're in a hospital or military or you're infirm or something. And that will solve basically the problem.
A lot of it, yeah. Because I don't buy this end of the day. It was like 62% to keep him.
Yeah.
I don't buy that. I think it was much closer. And some people were also getting down. Well, we would have been much closer, but Larry Elder was a lightning rod for blah, blah, blah. No, Larry was great. He actually got more votes as many as Arnold Schwarzenegger got when he had a successful recall.
Correct.
Just a few years ago. So I had nothing to do with Larry Elder.
Like 42%, right? I mean, it was a big number.
It doesn't matter who was going to be in that slot. The DNC and the operatives were going to attack that person.
Of course.
You know how it is. So I don't want to hear this nonsense. Oh, it was Larry, because Larry Elder, we got all, he's too much of a right winger or some nonsense, please.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, yes, they did call him a white supremacist, which is
the black face of white supremacy. Yeah, I don't want to say California is a lost cause, but it's pretty darn close. I mean, it's
Know. Like a cold slap in the face, I must say. So let's jump. It's literally it's going to be one after the other here. So real quickly, though,
let's do it.
Virginia now is having their own governor race. And this coming week, this Thursday night. So we're taping this on 9/19.
Yeah.
And I don't know why this came up. September, but anyway, it's a great matchup. So you've got this longtime lefty a-hole, Terry McAuliffe.
Oh, McAuliffe,
I'm sure you've heard his name. He's been involved in the swamp for 40 years.
He's been a political operative for the Clintons for years.
Just a nasty piece of ass. Now he's running against a guy. His name is, I barely had heard of the guy, Glenn Youngkin. And apparently he's got a pretty good track record. I don't love everything he represents, but he's pretty solid. And right now it supposedly is neck and neck.
Wow.
So now let's just, you know, keep your eyes tuned to that, because that's a biggie. That's a biggie. Have you heard anything else about that
race? I have not. No, I've been keeping my eyes on Joe Manchin a bit more over in Virginia than the governor's race. That dude holds more power than Pelosi and Schumer combined. I mean,
basically, because we're still waiting on the
he's the trigger. I mean, he's the trigger. He will prevent the reconciliation strategy. He will prevent the $3.5 trillion federal budget thing. He's the linchpin. And he said he's not going to do it. He's not going to pull the cord on a budget that big, and he's definitely not going to do it through reconciliation.
Well, this is definitely a litmus test about COVID-19 mandates, abortion, and other big time issues. So please, people of Virginia, you know, think and vote the right way. We'll see how that turns out.
Yeah.
And then jumping up to our friends in Canada.
Yay.
So that lefty loser, the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, called his own, what do they call it, a snap election or something?
Yeah.
And that's coming up tomorrow, I guess. And he's running against various rival conservatives and so on.
Yeah.
And once again, this is a mandate on the restrictions. And there was a whole brouhaha about he's being accused of covering up the Winnipeg lab collaboration with the Chinese military scientists.
Yes.
And this is kind of blowing up north. Do you have anything else on that one, Frank?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've covered that story on the Winnipeg labs on our Facebook page pretty extensively, Dave, over the last year, as you know. So folks can go check out the history there. I'm actually quite well connected with folks who know that institution very, very well. There's no question that it was a cover-up. Chinese scientists were planted inside that Winnipeg level 4 lab and doing secret research on viruses. They were actually caught red-handed sending not coronavirus, but other lethal viruses back in vials in packages back to China. So, you know, there's a lot of shenanigans going on there. Back to the election, though, for a second. So what folks need to understand about Canada is the whole country's left. So it's basically a question of what slice of left do you want? It's not really a choice between left and right. It's sort of a choice between what slice of the left do you want? So even the party that's called the Conservative Party in Canada is still pretty progressive from our perspective, right? If you were to put them into the United States. So they're definitely better than Trudeau and the far lefties. But as you said, Dave, when you drop helicopter checks, you know, down on everybody, and my mom gets these things because she's 86. But when you've done it like three times, they get like $600 a shot. And then all of a sudden you call an election. Well, who do you, you know, it's like, who do you vote for at that point? Right.
It's so the classic payoff. We'll see if at least maybe some members of his party goes the other way. We'll see how that. So anyway, this is another exciting week coming up for elections. I don't know if anybody is aware of this, but we are at war. As simple as that. Yeah. We are being invaded.
War.
Forgetting the culture war for a second. I'm trying to get to the border war. When thousands of people infiltrate your country, okay, and we do nothing about it, I consider that an invasion, which is, for me, it's war. So it's completely exploded in the last couple of weeks. So as you probably have all seen some clips, but down there in Del Rio, Texas, there are now more than 10,000, and this is not Mexicans. These are Haitians.
Yeah.
So these are people that came from Haiti and various other third world hellholes in right. Africa and elsewhere. They've come through, actually came and have been staying in Mexico actually for the last couple of years, waiting for this opportunity.
Yep.
And now they've gotten over the board because Biden said, hey, hands off. And now there is a little, its own little city under this bridge. Can you imagine the insanity going on with over 10,000 Haitians?
Yeah.
The diseases that are being passed,
The piss
raping,
and shit everywhere.
The garbage.
Yep.
And then tell me about the FAA nonsense going on with that.
Yeah, totally. No, I'll get into that. And I'm actually looking over here on Breitbart, Dave. The number is up to 15,000.
Oh,
this
beautiful.
Haitian
That's
camp.
Lovely.
I'm literally watching a live streaming video right now of them walking across this river. I mean, literally by the thousands. And I think everybody has seen these videos that were first propped by Fox News, but of course, now many other groups are covering this. But one of the kind of funny parts of this story is that Fox was using drones to essentially broadcast this stuff going on across the country, and it went viral, and of course it was everywhere. And then guess what? You know, Libtard Joe said, well, I'm not really happy about that. Everybody's seeing all these blacks pouring into our country. So these Haitians. So he basically got the FAA to issue a flight restriction of a square mile around that river and that bridge for drones. And so the news cameras, the news organizations, none of them could fly drone videos anymore. This was, I think, that we're taping this Sunday. This was back on Tuesday or Wednesday of this past week. Well, then what happened is the Texas Department of Protective Services, they basically said, yeah, we don't like that idea. So they actually gave their helicopter to Fox News to go up and shoot all this stuff, which was even a better view, actually, than the drone. And then that was broadcast, of course, you know, worldwide. Dave, I don't know what to make of this. I really think Governor Abbott needs to grow some balls here and just shut down the border. They are in control of it. He said he was going to do it. He backed off with Biden or something happened. Do you have some new what happened there? But
apparently they have granted like $1 billion to kind of start building this wall, which is, you know, a day late and a dollar short. Yeah, he has not been strong enough. I mean, you need a man of steel down there to say F you to the feds. And it's going to greatly impact Texas going forward. I mean, because that's the first stop, is they're going to just start walking through, and Texas is going to bear the brunt of this.
I just don't see why Abbott can't close the border. Why can't they just close the border? Is that Governor Abbott's control, or is that I guess that's the feds, but
it is the feds. Yeah. So there's a lot of contentious nonsense going back and forth. It's a horrid situation. And I think most people are at least seeing some of that video.
Yeah.
And you wonder if some of the libtards in New York and elsewhere, gee, I don't know if that looks very good because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And of course, the COVID being spread down there and the terrible nonsense happening with young girls, you can imagine.
Yeah, none of these people are getting vaccines, obviously. I think everybody knows that. Meanwhile, Kamala Toes Up Harris is tossing the coin toss at a college football game. Some black versus college football game here. I forget exactly which one it was, but she was booed, you know, more of this F Joe Biden stuff. They changed the thing for Camel Toes Up Harris, you know, so she's busy with the coin toss there while the Haitians are pouring in over the
they're on vacation, having a good old time. And this is, we all, you know, go back to scrolling. This is all exactly what they want. They're going to do nothing to stop this.
Yeah.
And this is September. I mean, we basically cannot do anything about this on a big time scale until 2022, which is
right.
There's a year left of this nonsense. So,
well, that's what's like really unbelievable. Like, I mean, if you're getting 10 to 15,000 people pouring in a day, like if you do the math, it's millions. It's millions of people that are going to consume our services, our hospitals, our schools. They are overrunning.
Yeah.
Police are overwhelmed. The local people that are living in these border towns are scared for their lives. I mean, they are armed and inside their homes, and they're scared. I mean, and they should be. It's a mess.
And as usual, they like, these are just women and children. And of course, that's the exact opposite.
It's totally 80, untrue.
Yeah. 80 to 90% are military aged men between the age of 18 and 50. 100%. Bottom line.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our favorite topic, COVID. It's nonstop. It will be endless. And I'm just mad about the whole thing now.
Yeah.
So here's a couple other big time details, but did you know the Health and Human Services Secretary, Xavier Becerra? He's a real shithole.
Well, he's a douchebag that used to be the attorney general in this state. Right. That's why we know him.
So they've taken control of the life-saving monoclonal antibody treatments for coronavirus. So this is ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. This is the medicine that has been used to absolutely help people if they get into a hospital. But they're now, this mother effer is actually restricting the distribution of these drugs.
So just a little,
unbelievable.
Yeah, totally. No, just a little clarification on that, Dave. So they are trying to restrict the Regeneron monoclonal antibody, which was the one that was used to treat Trump as part of a cocktail of drugs. And it's very effective if used early on to prevent serious illness. They are not restricting, and you can still get through your physician off-label ivermectin or hydroxy. So those are not being federally restricted. But he's definitely restricting the monoclonal antibody. And specifically, so this is the way, of course, Jen Circleback Psaki characterized it at the press conference. They're not restricting anything. They're just distributing more of it to other parts of the country. What she means to say is she's taking it away from Florida and Texas. They're limiting what goes to, so now they're playing politics. And it's just this tit for tat because DeSantis pissed off Biden with the whole school thing in terms of the school boards and the whole vaccine force mandate and all this nonsense. So DeSantis fucked him on that. So then Biden's like, well, you fucked me on that, then I'm taking away your monoclonal antibody treatment.
Like children. They're like children.
It's just ridiculous.
So apparently there were seven states and these are all Republican, majority Republican states that have been told that their supply of these drugs is going to be reduced. So it's Alabama, Florida, Texas, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, and Louisiana are going to have reduced drugs. My Lord. So here come the lawsuits. Now, speaking of lawsuits, Arizona is now the first state to sue the Biden administration over vaccine mandates. So this is now in play. This will be the first of many to come. And it's really going to, I think this will be quickly will escalate to the Supreme Court, I would imagine, because this really dictates the health of an entire, population. There's no serious scientific discussion about what this is actually doing to people. So this blanket, mandate, is not going to fly. So the Department of Labor is going to be under a real.
Yeah. There's already 25 state AGs who've signed on to to oppose this. This is going to go all the way to the Supreme Court if it even gets that far. Right. I don't see this amounting to anything. It's constitutional overreach. There's just no way it's enforceable at a federal level. That's the state's jobs. There is a Supreme Court precedent for the states to invoke such mandates from a vaccine perspective, and that's precedent, but not for the feds. Can't be done.
Right. So at least Arizona's got the first thing going, and more to follow. Moving over to Indiana. So now they are the Indiana's biggest hospital system, and 125 former staff have quit. So they said they will not comply with the hospital's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. And this, we basically bring one of these things up every show now, Frank, that we're seeing another group, another sector of the population that just saying, F you, we're not. And these are people that are not specifically anti-vaccine.
Right.
They're anti the mandate.
Right.
And these are people that work with sick people that have been infected with COVID every day.
Right.
So my Lord, if this is, if there's one group of people we should really respect and keep an eye on and what they're saying, I would think it's hospital administrators and nurses and doctors.
Yeah, look, they don't, as we said, Dave, in previous podcasts, they just don't care. It has nothing to do with who's right and who's wrong, and has nothing to do with what the science says, because the science says natural immunity is 13 times better than vaccinated immunity. It doesn't matter. As you know, and as I know, and as our followers know, it's all about fear and control and command and control, and that's it. And when you run out of things to scare people with, guess what you do? you find more things to scare people with. You just, it's a constant hunt for that. And that's why they want there to be, I'm not sure if folks understand this, they want there to be a constant state of emergency. They don't want the state of emergency to be lifted because they can stay in command and control when there's a constant state of emergency. If that state of emergency is lifted, either at a state level or a federal level, that means control goes back to guess who? The people. And they don't want that, right?
No, that, so that goes with the whole totalitarian thesis that they've been working around. And COVID played right into their hands. Here's a, you know, you're a much more medically astute than I am, Frank. So a doctor at the Mayo Clinic, that's where he trained.
Yeah.
And he runs one of the largest independent testing labs in Idaho. And so now he's coming out and, you know, good for him because you're almost putting your life on the line these days. But Dr. Ryan Cole, he's a board certified pathologist, says there he has seen a massive uptick in autoimmune diseases and cancers in patients who have been vaccinated.
Jeez.
Now he's just one guy.
Yeah.
And certainly I would think, can we at least listen to him? Can we at least look at his data? What has he seen?
Yeah.
But of course he's being completely buried. And this just came out 2 days ago.
Yeah.
But a huge uptick in HPV when looking at the, you know, this has to do with, you know,
human papillomavirus. Yeah,
that exactly. Yeah. So he's one of many. And I'd like to see more. Obviously, he's not going to be on CNN anytime soon.
No, I haven't heard of that one.
This is important. Yeah,
yeah, no, it's very important. It's very important. These things have to. Oh, but of course, you're classified as an anti-vaxxer and not following in line. You'd be put in jail if you did this in Australia. But if you scour around on Rumble and YouTube and Odyssey and some of the alternative sites, not so much YouTube, but there are an increasing number of physicians, Dave, like the one you just described, coming out and talking about some of these side effects. Look, folks, I mean, we have less than a year of data. We have less than a year of real world data of people getting this stuff. So we're going to see, as we have with adolescent and young men, where myocarditis or an inflammation of the heart, that side effect of getting the vaccine now outweighs any protective benefit that you could possibly get from it. So the risk is greater from a side effect point of view. So now that group of guys, that group of people is out. We know about the menstruation cycle issues with young women. We don't know how it's going to fuck up fertility for those women in the future. So my daughters are definitely not getting the vaccine. I mean, there's so many things that we don't know. And when your risk of dying is less than one in 250,000, and Frank, it's not even
that,
close.
Bring up that flu stat we saw. So you know how every year between about 60,000 to 70,000 people die of just the influenza every year in this country. It just goes back decades. And so in 2021, what was it? It was down to like less than 2,000 people.
Yeah, and I posted this actually on our Facebook page, so for folks can go check out the exact stats there. But basically, it was a sort of a meme, but it was the real numbers. And you look back 10 years, and it's, as you said, Dave, literally it's, you know, 50 to 75,000 people per year dying of the flu every single winter. Guess how many died of the flu this past winter? Like a couple thousand, basically nothing. So the point of this story is that what we've got here is a giant reclassification of death. Correct. The all-in mortality in the United States last year was not that much different than it was in previous years. It was a little bit more, but not that much more. But how those deaths were classified was very different. And I'm not saying this virus doesn't exist and it doesn't cause problems in high-risk populations and so forth. And if you're in one of those high-risk populations like my mom and you're living in a facility, you should be vaccinated. But risk has to be assessed on an individual basis. You don't just blanket, you know, you're not get, I mean, it makes me ill to think that they're studying this stuff in for two-year-olds. That makes me very ill.
Well, from the very beginning, and we've been saying this from the very beginning, we're both lock and step on this one, is that they've been playing with the numbers from day one to suit whatever theory that they wanted to push.
Yeah.
So here's another great story, though, of another whistleblower that's come forward. This is out of Gateway Pundit, another great site to check out. But more and more nurses are basically coming out and saying these ICU, this quote unquote ICU is being overrun with COVID patients is nonsense.
Totally
wildly
nonsense.
Over reported.
Yeah.
They're basically outright lies. And these are being, you know, the lies put up by the political officials to push their agenda.
Yep.
So
totally. Yep.
Here's a fellow that works at a place in Missouri. And he watched how, you know, the hospital administrators were saying we're overflowing with COVID patients.
Yeah.
Was complete. Meanwhile, he went down and he actually said
Checked.
That. Yeah. Three of the four levels or of ICU capacity, three quarters of it were absolutely empty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they only, so somehow they were able to say, oh, well, because they were all on this one floor, we're overflowing.
Right. Right.
It's complete nonsense. So
yeah,
we're seeing more and more cases like him coming forward. Good for you, dude. And that's, he actually showed pictures. Yeah. Three of the four wings are completely empty.
Yes. Yeah, total total perversion of the, of the reality, what's happening. Dave, it's funny you mentioned that story, because I have a radiologist friend up in Reno, and you as sure as the sun will rise tomorrow, if you swipe over to Apple News on your iPhone or CNN every single day, it has a story about hospitals are overflowing, ICUs are overflowing. I'm not kidding you, from states all across the country. So this happened in a friend of Reno, a friend of mine. I called him up and I said, dude, what's happening in the hospital? He's like, yeah, plenty of beds, not even half full, not even half full. And the story the day before was like, Reno hospitals, you know, overflowing due to Delta variant. First of all, how the fuck do you know it's due to the Delta variant? You're not sequencing every one of these samples. Mm-mm. And second of all, it's not overflowing, because I just checked. Yeah.
It's a double lie.
Just ridiculous. Yeah.
There's still more and more, and it is hitting home, because, and this is also absolutely something that we could have predicted a mile away. Literally 2 days after Gavin Newsom was not thrown out of office, they've increased the restrictions here in LA County.
Yes.
For inside. So if you go into a bar or various other, maybe a concert hall, you have to wear a mask now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, apparently it's for the, I think this takes over in October or November or something. And so vaccine proof for bars.
Oh, that's what it is. Vaccine proof. But as
apparently,
well as
So proof of vaccine for bars, but apparently if for restaurants, it's only quote unquote strongly recommended. What the fuck does that mean? That means bullshit. So I guess what they're going to start doing is start serving a lot of burgers in bars, because then they become restaurants. And then you don't need to. So it's going to create this whole, you know what rules and all this stuff does, Dave, these regulatory. And so there's just workarounds. So if you're a bar, guess what? You become a hybrid operation pretty quickly. You start serving food and French fries. Oh, we're not a bar. We have French fries. We're a restaurant.
And meanwhile, every real number will tell you that the quote unquote COVID positive cases are dropping. They've dropped now 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah, no, and Delta variant is, it's just like we predicted, just like in the UK, you had a big spike, came down, everything good, everyone's all naturally immunized. And this is the thing, people think, oh, we've got to protect all these kids, we got to protect the kids, vaccinate the kids. No, you want kids to get this. People don't understand. This is not a dangerous thing for children. You want them to get natural immunity and then to be protected. And we're doing the exact opposite, quite frankly, of what we should be doing, in my view. Not sure if you saw this story, Dave. I know we have to get off, sign off the air here and pay the commercials, pay the bills. But my good friend, Nicki Minaj, you know, Nicki and I, we go way back, as you know, we used to dance together at in Los Angeles and stuff. But my good friend and rap star, Nicki Minaj, she's in a little bit of trouble there. She's rebelling against the Democratic Party. She's like, we're not going to do what we tell you telling us, and under the control of black people. And don't tell me I can't like conservative people and Republicans. And boy, she is getting hammered.
I love it. This is a case of the far left meeting the far right in equal agreement on something. So good for her, because just like with the various, you know, we saw with who is the other
Gina Carano.
Either Gina Carano or whoever else it might be, to actually step up and to say, hold on now a second. Let's not, because she couldn't go to that ridiculous, party they had up there in Los Angeles at the Met Gala.
Well, you know who set the table for this? And then I think we're going to have to sign off, because we're probably running over, but, Bill Maher. And you've talked about this for many shows now, but Bill Maher really set the table for all these people. He's been going on for months about how the libtards, he doesn't know, this is not the Kennedy liberal party that he remembers. And he talked in his last show, he's like, why are only the servers at these elite liberal parties wearing masks? How come everybody else isn't wearing a mask? Why is it only the servers? You know, again, it's part ridiculous. Of their strategy. Divide, divide, divide. Servers, they're black and brown, they wear masks, and we're white, and we sit here and we eat our roast beef au jus, and we're all fat and happy. That's the way it's all going to, that's what he thinks. Anyways, dude, great seeing you.
Great stuff.
Another big show coming up after we pay some bills, and we'll talk to you down the road, folks. Take care.